the anointing that we are experiencing is a year-long anointing, that this is not going to disappear today, but that as we begin to look toward God and we begin to understand that He's the way maker, we begin to understand that there's nothing He can't do, and there's nothing He can't solve, there's nothing He can't change, that we will see the manifestation in the mighty name of Jesus. You all right, Jason? You know, the story that I told you this morning so ties into what God just did, because, you know, we go through all of these things and it's so hard to look at something and say, this is good. Yeah. When the doctors gave us the report that Marjorie had cancer, we were not at a spiritual mature place that we could look at it and say, this is good. Why would it be good? What could be good about it? Because what was good is we invoked God's you have no idea. We got to see God work through such a tragic situation. And at the end of the day, when we came out of it, when we were on the other side of it, Marjorie said, I would do it again to see what happen again. It was worth it, because out of cancer came two pastors. Out of cancer came thousands of healings. Satan angered me. Some of you think it's not okay to get angry, but it's okay to get angry. Angry is an emotion that God has. We have made God angry so many times, we can't count them. The Israelites were famous for ticking God off. Just read the Bible. No matter what He did for them, they turned to another god. And it upset Him. So I got angry. And I had a little talk with Satan. If you've never had a little talk with Satan, then get some courage. Have a little talk with him. And I let him know, you have made a big mistake dragging my butt to this hospital. Because if you brought me here, I'm going to go up and down these halls and I'm going to heal everybody in this hospital through the authority and the empowerment of Jesus Christ. I'm going to disrupt your territory. Somebody know that the hospital is the devil's playground. You think you walking into the hospital to see somebody like it's just an average and ordinary day, but I'm here to tell you that's the devil's playground you're walking into. And you need to be at war when you walk in those doors. Those that go to the hospital with me will tell you that I like to stop and pray before I walk in those doors. And I say, God, I bind any infectious disease. I bind every infirmity. Every bacteria, God, that the enemy wants to put on me, I bind it now. And I declare this place a holy place now in the name of Jesus, conducive for healing throughout this hospital. It's a devil's playground that I'm walking into. Now, everybody knows what a bad neighborhood is, right? I'm from Fort Lauderdale. Y'all don't have no bad neighborhoods here. But in Fort Lauderdale, oh, we got some places that ain't safe. And we'll do one of two things. We'll avoid that place, or we'll go into that place prepared. We go to that place aware. We're watching to see who comes up upon us. We're watching to see that car that stops in the wrong place. Because we're paying attention, we're prepared. Because it's the devil's playground. And how can you walk into a hospital, the devil's playground, unprepared? I have no idea where I was going with any of that. Has nothing to do with the message. Oh, I remember. I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart this morning that whatever you're going through, God will do something good out of it. God uses everything. I often tell people, pay attention to the little words Jesus said, because Jesus didn't waste a single word. Everything that Jesus said meant something. And I've taught our pastoral staff to go through the little words when it says if, or if it says the, or if it, what is he talking about? He didn't waste anything. God will not waste anything that you're going through. Something good will come out of it. If you believe, you got to believe. I've watched God do miracles through tragedies in our own life and in the lives of others. He's about to do something in your life. Amen? All right, I am preaching about the seven spirits of God. And the reason that I'm preaching about the seven spirits of God, and if you've missed part one, which was 2 weeks ago, you can catch that on our Facebook page or our website, or you can get a CD in the back so that you can get caught up. So I'm teaching on the seven spirits of God because I've been told by God that there's a demonic rise right now. That the demonic is rising. And that we are going to have to fight off some things more intensely than we've fought off things before. And so if I'm going to teach you about the demonic spirits, I will never give them credence over God. I will always make God first place in everything that we do. So I want to teach you about the spirits of God. And there are seven of those spirits. There's the spirit of the Lord. There's the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of understanding. The spirit of counsel. The spirit of fortitude. And the spirit of fear of the Lord. Those are the seven characteristics and spirits of the Holy Spirit. Now, trying to explain this to you is not an easy thing, as I try to explain it to myself is not an easy thing. But the spirit influences the will of a person. We are influenced by the spirits in each and everything we do. Okay? In order for you to understand, we've got to get you to understand that we're carriers of a spirit. You are nothing but a vessel. You are nothing but a clay pot. You are nothing but a container. Okay? And before the Spirit entered into you, you were lifeless. But God breathed the Spirit of life into you, and you were alive. The Bible says God knew you before the foundations of the world. One thing I find amazing is that Olivia is only a week or so, 2 weeks old. I don't think she's two. How long? Almost 2 weeks old, but her spirit's full grown. Her spirit had a meeting with God before the foundations of the world. Her spirit has always been alive. People get mad at me for allowing babies and little children into the sanctuary, and I laugh at them because their spirits are full grown and they need to be in the anointing just like the adults do. The greatest thing for me to come to church and be with a fellow body of believers is that there's anointing all over this place, and I want to be in the midst of it. Because, see, I have a problem. The problem is this service is going to end at around 12 o'clock. And then I'm going to go out on those streets. And out on those streets are traps that the enemy has set up for me. He's trying to trip me up on how I spend my money. Anybody can witness to that? He's going to try to get me to see something shiny, and he's going to try to say, "Ooh, that's shiny. I think I need that. I don't need that." He's going to try to trip me up. And if I go out on those streets and I don't have the anointing of God on me, then I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable. I'm vulnerable to react to some circumstances in an unchristian way. Am I talking to any Christians today? You know, I'm apt to let some kind of word slip out of my mouth that I know is an ungodly word, that I know it's a word that God doesn't want me to say, and that it's a word I know I have to have control of. Let me miss 3 weeks of church. It's amazing how fast Satan can get a hold of you. I want the anointing of God to be upon me, and I want to receive it from the people. You're anointed people. You're anointed. Because you're carriers of His Spirit. You're carrying the Spirit of God. I want to run through about 7, 8, 9, I don't know how many scriptures, real quick with you, just run through these scriptures before I start the message, because I got to get you to understand that what I'm talking about is real. We carry the spirits. There's some people in here today that are carrying some unholy spirits. But I want you to know I'm coming. Oh, I'm coming. My team is coming. And we're going to have a little talk. Now, you could leave now if you want to. But you will be leaving when I get there. Let's start these scriptures. I pray that out of the glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. See, without the Spirit of God, we are a powerless people. We are unable to do anything. I said something in my Friday night class that's considered blasphemy almost anywhere you go, but I stand by it. Because I understand the Word of God, and I understand the Spirit of God, and I understand authority, I understand empowerment. And I understand the commandment God gave me. And it had to do with healing. And I make this statement, I healed you. And people get frazzled real quick when somebody says that, because it's God that heals. No, it's you that heal through the power of God. Without the power of God, without the anointing of God, without the assignment from God, without the everything of God, you couldn't heal a soul. But God empowered you, and He said, go out and heal, go out and pray, go out and drive out demons. Go out, you! Go do it. But you don't want to take responsibility for healing somebody. So it's very easy to put it off on God. It's very easy to sit down and say, well, you know, God does that. That's so you don't have to. You're a carrier of the Spirit in your inner being. Next, I got to go through these quick or I'll never get to the sermon. I'm never going to get to it anyway, am I? I'll be back next week. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, love attracts the Spirit. No, part two. Oh, that was part two. Okay, next one. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You know what else that says without saying it? Those that are led by the spirit of the devil are the children of the devil. Remember, God had a little talk with the Israelites? And they started talking about Abraham was their father. And he looked at him and said, "Your daddy's the devil." Do you look for the Spirit to lead you? Do you ask the Spirit to lead you? Or are you like the average person who goes about their day with no thought on what they're doing? God sent the Holy Spirit to lead you. Do you remember the story of the Last Supper? And Jesus said, "Go outside. Remember, there's no Holy Spirit yet. But everything God does indicates what's coming." And he said, "Go outside and you'll find a man. And that man has a jug of water." What represents the Spirit? Water. And what is this man going to do for us? He's going to lead you where I want you to go. You're going to go out there and you're going to find him, and he's going to lead you to where I want you to go. And when you get to where I want you to go, you're going to find everything we need is right there. All the provisions are set up and accounted for. We're going to be ready to go if you'll follow the leading of this man who's carrying a jug of water. And here we are today. If we will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will get to where God wants us to go. And when we get there, we'll find out that everything we need will be in place. I followed the Holy Spirit to Lake Placid. And when I got here, everything was here. I didn't have to go. God didn't make me go. God knew I didn't want to go. I'm a city boy. I was fine in the city. Everything I needed was in the city. Except my church. The church God gave me wasn't in the city. He said, "No, go to Lake Placid. Follow the Spirit, son. Follow the Spirit. You'll get to where I want you to be. And when you get to where I want you to be, everything you need will be there." Those that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. Now, why is that so important? I guess going through 10 scriptures quickly is not going to happen. I'm so sorry, but I'm not sorry at all. The child, the children, represents obligation. Right? See, if you have a child, if you've ever had a child, you're obligated to that child. It really doesn't matter what that child does it? You're still obligated to that child. Don't raise your hand, but how many have a child that lives outside of your standards? Huh? Oh, all of us? But yet, they're our child, and we're obligated for those children. God entrusted you with those children, and you're obligated. So if that child comes to you and says, Daddy, I really need some help. I need... You're going to listen and decide if that's what's best for them or not. And you're going to react to them. You see, being a child of God says that God's going to react to me. When I come before Him and I say, God, I'm heartbroken. This thing that has happened, God, is not right. It's not holy. It's not godly. And there are some laws in the land that say this has got to happen now. But you, God, you can change it. You see, God, if you wave your hand, the Bible says that the heart of the king is in your hands. It doesn't say the heart of the Christian. It says the heart of the one in authority is in your hands, and you can change their mind. And I watched God do something that was against the law. I watched God take time out of the equation. Are you led by the Spirit so that God will react to you? It's like counseling somebody who don't listen to a word I say. Can you believe there's people out there like that? I'll spend an hour in the office and they don't do anything I say. And then they want an appointment next week. Why? Do I entertain you? Oh, because you did it your way again and it failed again. I see. So we're going to do this again, and I'm going to give you another hour of my time, and I'm going to explain to you what it is you need to do and what God wants you to do, and then you're going to go not listen to me again and then ask for the third appointment. If you're not being led by the spirits of God, God is saying, I'm not obligated to you. The hardest thing I deal with, one of the hardest things I deal with, is that people come to me and they want me to go to God for somebody outside of God. And I'll do it. You know why I do it? Because God is God. And if God wants to show mercy on somebody He's not obligated to, then that's what He'll do. And maybe it's my voice, maybe it's your voice that's the deciding factor. Maybe it's your voice that changes the mind and heart of God. And He decides to show Himself to that person. So I'll do it. But the truth is, if you're not led by the Spirit, you're not a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, He's not obligated to act on your behalf. So when I pray, I say, God, I know. My heart's breaking for that person, God. Will you consider it? Will you act? God, they're going to be known by the word of your testimony. Will you give them a testimony that they're going to be able to tell the world that is a God that touched them and saved them? If you're in the proper position, you can get God to react to you. Now, if your child is a really good child and is obedient most of the time, no child is obedient all the time. And I'm fortunate that in my construction business, I go to thousands of homes. I've been in construction business for 42 years. And I've seen family dynamics from A to Z. And I know that the children that are pretty good kids, they try hard in school. They do the stuff their parents tell them to do. And it puts them in a unique position, because when they come and say, "Daddy, can you take me here or there?" Daddy says, "Sure, I'll take you here or there." He doesn't put much thought in it. But when that child is defiant, constantly in trouble, skipping school, using drugs, doing all of this other stuff, and he comes to Daddy and says, "Daddy, can you take me here or there?" Daddy says, "Why should I?" The child hasn't put himself in position to receive. Following the Spirit of God puts you in position to receive God, the things of God. I got to move on. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. All right, so just reading that sentence tells me that now, okay, so now I've got some different kinds of spirits to deal with. And I have a job to do, and I've got to determine if the spirit is a godly spirit or an ungodly spirit. Here's where the complication comes in. Both spirits sound the same. One spirit has no indication that it's red with a pitchfork. The Bible says it has made itself look like the Spirit of God. So it sounds like God, it looks like God, and it's going to lead you away from God. That's why I believe God is the God of confirmation. When I hear the Spirit, I begin to go into a testing mode. All right, God, if this is of you, show me. Just show me. Find a way. When God called me to be a pastor, and many of you know that I ran from this for 10 years. And people were stopping me on the street. I'd go to the mall, and people would stop me in the mall. God said to tell you you're a pastor. What? And I'd go somewhere else, and somebody would walk up to me and said, "Hi, Pastor." Huh? And did this happen once, twice? No, it happened hundreds of times. There are too many pastors that think they're called to be pastors, but they were put in place by the devil to confuse God's people. The Spirit was never tested, and they jumped on it. I've had so many people come to me and tell me God said to do something. And I pull out the Bible and I say, "But that's in contrast to the Word." And I'm a Rhema Word guy. I've been taught by the Rhema Word. But it doesn't contradict the written Word. So let me explain something to you. That's not of God. That's the wrong spirit. You haven't tested the Spirit. You haven't opened up the Word of God. You haven't sought godly counsel. You're just jumping on a spirit, and that spirit's going to lead you astray. But the Bible says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Oh, well, that's disrespectful. No, it's what God said to do. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This man came up and gave me a word. And I'm here to tell you that was a word from God because it resonated in my spirit. It confirmed what was already in my spirit. A prophetic word will do that. It'll confirm what's in your spirit already. It's a confirmation from God. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. How many know that when you worship God, you've got to release your spirit to him? So many times I'm not even cognizant where I am. I'm lost. The greatest, when we have a Christian concert here, I make this announcement almost every concert. I am off tonight. I'm off. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear about your uncle's cousin's grandmother. I don't want to hear about what happened at your house last night. I'm off. You see, for the next 2 hours, I'm going to get lost in God. My spirit is going to worship in spirit and in truth. And if you want to talk to me about your problems after the concert, come on in. If you want to talk to me about them tomorrow, come on in. But you're going to get out of my way so I can worship God in spirit and in truth. And I've got to get lost in order to do that. I got time for one more scripture. How far did I get out of 62? I don't want to know. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. If I'm going to teach you of how to receive the seven spirits of God, I've got to get you to understand that you're a spirit carrier. And that God wants you to carry these spirits. And he wants to make sure no other spirit gets in there. Don't answer me, but how many walk around with a spirit of deception? How many walk around the spirit of war, spirit of slander? There are so many other spirits. And the reason you have them is because you've made a place for them, because you haven't made a place for the seven spirits of God. Now, a spirit has a little more difficult time finding me because I'm carrying the seven spirits of God. So there's no room. No room at the inn. My vessel's full. And if I stay focused and led by the Spirit of God, then I'm not going to let them in. But if I turn my eyes and I turn my heart and I start concentrating on work too much and not God enough, I'm susceptible. Prayer team, come up. I have to close. I don't know how long it feels for you, but for me, I'm up here for 2 minutes flat. I am thankful that God is making us aware of some of the deeper things of God. Because I want to live my best life for Christ. And I want the authority to act on behalf of God. And I absolutely love it when the Spirit of the Lord hits me. Because I'm going to show you that when the Spirit of the Lord hits you, you can do things that are beyond any imagination. Today, if you want to come up and say, I want to carry the seven spirits of God, and I want all other spirit removed from my life, it's a good day. If you can say, I operate, but I don't see the laws of gravity changing for me, the laws of nature. But I want to be empowered that when I go to God, a law is ignored on behalf of somebody who needs it. I've had people come to this altar and tell me that tomorrow they're going to jail. I said, what do you mean you're going to jail? I'm coming in for my sentencing. Judge says I'm going to jail. And I look at him and said, you're not going to jail. No, I'm going to jail. I said, no, you're not. You're not going to jail. Not tomorrow. Continue to do the same foolishness and you're going to jail. If you make God out to be a prostitute, you're going to jail. But not tomorrow. Because you've come to this altar and God has told me that he's going to extend grace to you this time. And you're going to repent. And you're not going to do it again. One guy who was going to jail, he came back and he says, I didn't go to jail. I said, yeah, I know. He said, but you don't understand what? He said, I told him that I go to Working Faith Ministries Church. And the judge looked at him and said, okay, as long as you attend service at Working Faith Ministries, I will not put you in jail. But if I find out you're not there, I'm going to put you in jail. It happened. Our spirit will listen to the Spirit of God and not the spirit of man. You've been released today. I don't know what you've been released from, but you've all been released from something. So if you want to talk it over with God's people, if you want to get into agreement, you're welcome to come up to the altar for any issue you're dealing with. These people will pray for you. You came to church, you might as well get prayed for. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you, God, for the continuance of this message. And we thank you, God, that we're learning more and more about the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus.